We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by a sponsor, SmartBracket.io. It's Friday, March 15th, 2024. Alex Berutha here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
So last night, Luka Doncic sat out Thursday's 126-119 loss to the Thunder due to a hamstring injury because MRI came back clean, tentatively considered questionable for Sunday's game against the Nuggets. He is coming off a streak of seven consecutive 30-point triple-doubles. He is the number one fantasy player in 8-cat over the past 30 days above Victor Wembanyama and Nikola Jokic. Luka right now, third in MVP odds at 10-1, behind SGA, who is 4-1, and Nikola Jokic, the favorite, at minus 270. Can I ask you, does that feel like the right order?
Well, I think it's stupid that the MVP rankings are just regular season, because who cares how people do in the regular season?
This feels like a rant. Is this an old man rant?
I should have saved this. Darn it. This is better than the rant I wrote. Yeah, it's stupid. Who cares? Regular season MVP. I mean, I realize there's a lot of people wagering money. And by the way, OKC Thunder played in California, the East Coast. SGA would be running away with this. It's horribly biased by media markets, and I don't care who's best in the regular season. If you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you're not an MVP.
This is partially why I think Jokic is such a heavy favorite, is because I think people want to give him the award for what he didn't win last year in addition to being finals MVP and winning the finals. It's almost like voters' remorse in a way.
Well, also Embiid's injury, right? Like, there was the number two guy, and then he...
Yes. Out. Yeah. Embiid was already coming close to game count issues before that. Anyway. Ken, we have some unfortunate news to quickly pass along.
Yeah. Yes. RJ Barrett could be out for an extended period after his younger brother passed away. RJ did not play Wednesday and will not play Friday. That is all we know right now. And our condolences to the Barrett family, though, you know, I doubt they listen to the show.
I hope they do not. That's not what they need right now, unfortunately. Yeah. Shannon, we got some expected or unexpected. I don't even know how you classify it anymore. Ben Simmons update.
Yeah, Ben Simmons underwent his second back surgery in 3 years. He had a microscopic partial dissectomy, I believe is how you say that. He is expected to be fully recovered for next season's training camp. Simmons played in 15 games this season, averaged 6.1 points, 7.9 rebounds, and 5.7 assists in just under 24 minutes per game.
Yeah, the I think it's a discectomy. That's a tough one to say. Basically, you're going to shave off part of his disc that he herniated. I think last year, a couple years ago, he had like a micro discectomy. So they like shaved like a little bit. Now they're going to shave more off of it. He's supposed to be recovered for training camp. I don't know if people are going to draft him next year.
Back issues are tough, man. I've said it on the show in the past, you know, Rob Gronkowski, Dwight Howard, there's numerous players across various sports that have had back injuries. and then never, you know, they'll come back and be quality players still, but never quite the same, never able to reach that peak that they had before. And, you know, same with me with RotoWire yeah. hoops.
Tragic. You know?
Yeah. Never going to be 25-year-old Shannon again.
Contract-wise, Mr. Simmons has one more year. You guys want to guess what he's going to make next year with the Nets?
40?
40 million. You nailed it. 40 million point three, technically. Even the point threes, not bad.
Good for him.
40.3 million, and then he will be an unrestricted free agent. He has a player. Oh, no, sorry. Unrestricted free agent. So the Nets.
Scared me.
Might get another 15 games out of him next year, but not good for Brooklyn.
I wonder if he'll get signed. I think someone will sign him for really cheap if he wants to continue playing. I mean, I honestly, I don't know how motivated.
I don't think he cares. I think he gets that. I mean, he's making $40 million alone. He's making $37 million this year. I'd be looking for spots in the Caribbean. I'm like, F you, everyone. Lie down.
See, I mean, if he ends his career, he can say, "Hey, look, I was an all NBA player one year, all defensive player.
He can sleep on a giant pile of money, Alex. Who cares what he want? I'll be like, I need my Mai Tai at 10 a.m. I'll be lying here, pile of cash. Thank you."
In more fun news, we had DeMar DeRozan pass three players last night in all time NBA scoring. He moved up to 32nd. He passed Elgin Baylor, Dwayne Wade, and Adrian Dantley in that order.
Dantley never gets the love he deserves. Goodness gracious, I loved his. He was like 4'1" and had the best post moves. Ended his season with your beloved Pistons, or ended his career with your beloved Pistons, I believe, right, Shannon?
No, they traded him for Mark Aguirre before they actually became like the true bad boys.
He ended his season with my beloved Milwaukee Bucks.
Did he?
Career, actually.
Yeah.
Just like Moses Malone, right?
That's a good tribute. That's a good bark.
Oh, no, no. He did Milwaukee 2 years, Philly, back to Philly, and then the Spurs for his last year. I'm mistaken.
Yeah. That slow game has lasted forever. He didn't, speed was not an element.
Yeah, he could just stand under the rim and do this with his elbows and just grab a rebound.
He'd do like 87 head fakes. Yeah. And then, until you went up, you just keep doing it. Defenders would jump just out of boredom, just out of like, let's end this.
6'5", small forward back in the day when everyone had to have post moves, no matter what position you played. He and Isaiah Thomas famously did not get along, which is the big reason why Dantley was traded, because he was like an all-star caliber player for the Pistons. But Isaiah didn't like him, so he's tossed the curb, and Mark Aguirre came in and really solidified the Pistons' rotation.
And we have now officially lost the age 20 to 35 segment. So maybe we should. Get back to that.
Well, very, very quickly, I do want to mention everybody above DeRozan in the all-time scoring list who is retired is a Hall of Famer, except for Vince Carter, who is eligible in 2024 and is a finalist for the 2024 class. So, Ken, I ask you, which may spark another old man rant, is DeMar DeRozan a Hall of Famer? But maybe this is two questions. Do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame, and will he probably be a Hall of Famer?
I'm going to say yes and yes. I mean, at some point, just the career stats, you just have to, like you just say, like to your point, when you're at a stat level where everyone around you is a Hall of Famer, isn't that the argument? I'm not like those baseball guys that love to get into 72-hour arguments and start political rallies about their guy getting in or not getting in. It's basketball. Honestly, Western Mass, where they host the Hall of Fame, they're just desperate for any kind of attention they can get. So they'll be happy to have the DeRozan family rent a hotel room.
I think he'll get in. I don't know if in an ideal world, like if we really cut down the Hall of Fame to make it very elite, if he would get in. But I think he's going to get in.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our friends at Smart Bracket.
Please.
Hey, March Madness fans. Before we dive into the madness, we wanted to loop you in on one of our sponsors, Supported Intelligence. There's none of that on this podcast. They've developed an AI tool called SmartBracket.io that could really help when you are building your brackets. Think of SmartBracket.io as that one friend who always has the inside scoop thanks to something they call rapid recursive technology. It's like having a secret playbook for your March Madness picks, making your bracket a bit smarter while saving you a ton of time. If you love the game and your bracket could use a bit of an edge or a full-on strategy overhaul, SmartBracket.io is worth a peek. It's fun and easy to use while leveraging some brilliant AI technology. It might just give you those bragging rights that you're after. With March Madness around the corner, a little extra insight never hurt. When Selection Sunday starts, check out SmartBracket.io. Here's to enjoying the madness and making smarter choices along the way. Thank you, Supported Intelligence.
Big shout out to Supported Intelligence for back in the pod. Thank you, gentlemen. Their AI tool, SmartBracket.io, is a game changer. If you're looking for a smarter way to fill your brackets this March Madness, they've got you covered. Like, I am famous for not just losing brackets, but you can bank on me for a last five finish. It's for 30 years I've been a last five every time. So I'm all in. They're going to fill out every bracket I have to do. Before you fill out your brackets, be sure to use smartbracket.io, available on the App Store and on the web. We had a kid knock on our door this week, trying to raise money for her soccer team to go overseas on some, like, I don't know, AAU trip, whatever. And it was like, and I said, oh, what are you selling? I'm thinking like cookies, popcorn, wrapping paper. No, it was a bracket. Like, you're 14 years old. You want me to bet in your, you know, in your soccer teams? Like, this is screwed up. Oh, plus, I'm fat. I want cookies. Give me some, like, give me chocolates or something.
Like a 8-year-old knocking on your door. Yeah, it's their Girl Scout cookie.
In your mouth. Hey, like, I got your bracket here. You want to bet the over on tonight's Pistons game?
Simone Fontecchio. Simone Fontecchio over 2.5 threes. Trust me.
But don't pay up. She sends Rocky and Sluggo over here to break my knees.
Oh my god. Okay, Ken, before we dive into waiver wire, do we have any
feedback? We've got some fan feedback questions. Mr. Malouk asks, Vince Williams and Max Strus, both on my IL, do you think they will play next week and help his first week of the playoffs?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Strus injury is a little concerning to me at this point. It's a knee strain. And he's been out for 6 games. And they don't necessarily, Cleveland doesn't have to rush him back. And on the other hand, you know, for Vince Williams, for the Grizzlies, they don't have to rush him back either because they're pretty bad. But I don't have any more information than we have on RotoWire in terms of their technically day to day. But neither of these teams are going to be in a rush to get these guys back. That's all I can say.
Well, and let me add, but you're more the expert on this, Alex. Isn't Desmond Bane going to come back? And I'm sure if he does come back, it'll be like one game here, one game not here. But if he plays a game or two, he's right at Vince Williams. Well, they moved Williams to point guard, though. I guess there's enough lack of talent in that starting lineup. There'd be room for Williams and Bane if they were healthy.
So, yes, I think Bane coming back will affect Vince Williams' usage, but I don't necessarily think Bane is going to play in every game. I have to shout out someone who works in our industry, Josh Lloyd, on him looking at Jaren Jackson's game logs and noting who Jaren Jackson plays against versus who he does not play against. He does not play against teams like Charlotte and Washington. Brooklyn's on this list. Portland is on this list twice. Stinkers. But he did play against good teams like the Clippers, play against Minnesota, play against Atlanta. Play against OKC. So, you know, I think there's some selective sitting going on. So if you roster Bane, be careful about that, let's say.
Oh, certainly. Bane, yes. But Williams, yeah, who knows his plan for Memphis between now and the end of the season?
Right, yeah, the encouraged part for both those players is that they're day-to-day officially and questionable. So there's a chance they're going to return. I just say watch the news over the weekend. And if you need to submit a fab bid for a replacement, you know, get that in because it might not be determined. We'll know more about Williams for Saturday's game.
And I'll just throw this in. Mr. Malouk, he is giving us a shout out from Jakarta, Indonesia. Hello, Indonesia. We are loved in Indonesia. Next question comes from Christian Rogers. I'm going to guess he's not in Indonesia. Thoughts on Toronto's power forward center, Jonte Porter? Possible silly season candidate?
Look, I'll say yes, possible. But I'll let Shannon touch on this since I talked about like 3 minutes of just a second ago.
Yeah, Porter's had a couple decent games off the bench for Toronto. He has 25 fantasy points and 41 fantasy points in only 22 and 21 minutes. That's really buoyed by 4 blocks and 1 steal in that 41 point outing. So he has upside. He has the ability to go out there and rack up some stats if he's getting the minutes. He is the brother of Michael Porter Jr., correct, Alex?
Oh, yes, he is.
So there's that. It's in the blood. I'm not a big believer. I'd like to see him get a starting nod before I am going to stream him in. But if you're in daily leagues and you need a streaming spot, you know, he's worth a look while Toronto's banged up because they are extremely thin right now.
Poeltl's out for the year. Is that right? It's not officially out for the season yet, but is it assumed, Alex?
Yeah, Doug. Yeah.
Bertl.
Yep. Bertl. And Porter's on a two-way deal, but I can't imagine he's anywhere near the game count where they'd be concerned about him playing too much or losing the two-way status. And you got Kelly Olynyk is really the only center there who's really half a power forward. And Barrett's out now, who they've been playing at power forward. So maybe Olynyk slides over, too, because we don't know how long RJ Barrett's going to be out with that family tragedy.
Yeah, and one thing I will say about Porter, it may not matter that much. He's very injury-prone. He like missed his entire rookie season basically with a knee injury that was undisclosed. I know this because I checked right now and I wrote 18 Jonte Porter notes. And they were all out Friday, out Thursday, out Sunday, still out Friday, out Wednesday, ruled out Monday, out Saturday. Yeah. So injury prone. But everything Shannon said is true. If he plays, he can pull up numbers.
I feel like you're going to start questioning your career choices when you realize you wrote 18 Dante Porter.
Oh, I was questioning it mid-sentence as I wrote another one. I was like, can we just say he's out for the year? Like, can we just make up our own sources?
And then Reds 22, we'll end on this, has a strategy question. I think I know the answer, but it's, do you recommend picking up streamers first thing in the morning or right before tip-off?
Well, I don't play in any daily transaction leagues. I will say the earlier the better in theory, because nobody else is going to be able to get to them. If you get to them first, I think if it's right before tip off, that's a good time for like guys who are questionable to, you know,
also depends if you have a transaction limit. Like I'm in a daily league, right? There's 4 transactions. So if you get somebody early and all of a sudden there's some gem, but you may have used up your transactions for the week.
Yeah,
Shannon, any thoughts here, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I oftentimes will even try to pick them up the day before if possible. To me, it's always the earlier the better. So that's the route I would go. You just have to take more time, do some research, and identifying the right players to pick up.
So the early bird gets the worm, you might say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out sweet Pistons hoodie. I know you've worn it before on the pod, but looks good, Shannon.
Thanks.
We will be auctioning it off. Pod worn Pistons hoodie.
What's our charity?
My salary.
Back pain.
We should.
I believe it's time. Time for the money segment of the show.
The waiver wire. We have, per usual, 2 regular picks and 1 long shot pick. The regular picks must be rostered in less than 50% of leagues. 1 long shot pick must be rostered in 25% or less of Yahoo leagues, though at this point in the year, roster rates are a little more nebulous, let's say. For game count next week, Charlotte and Dallas have 2 games, and the rest of the teams are basically split between 3 and 4. So keep that in mind when adding guys, when dropping guys, etc. My first suggestion, Houston Rockets, Jock Landale, 29% rostered. Elprin Shangoon out for the rest of the regular season. Coach Ime Udoka is not starting Jock Landale, who is a traditional backup center. They've instead shifted Jabari Smith, who was their starting power forward, up to center, and then slid Amen Thompson into the lineup. And then they bring Landale off the bench. But Landale in back-to-back games has played 26 and 27 minutes. In the first game, he put up 11, 4, and 5 with 2 steals and a block. Second game, 13, 5, and 1. That's good enough for me. The minutes count, everything for me to, I think you can probably roster Landale for the remainder of the season. It's a long play, but the Rockets do have 3 games next week.
He's the only legitimate center on the roster, unless you're a big Boban fan. I like his ads. I do not care for his game.
I love Boban. I wish they would play Boban, but they won't.
Shannon, your thoughts on Landale?
He's a solid option. You know, he will be coming off the bench, but it's encouraging that he played 27 minutes in the most recent game on Thursday night against Washington, who is also going small. So Landale's even seen 27 minutes against a team that has a opposing team that has a small lineup. So that's encouraging. I'm going to highlight the guy who I think is the key target for the Rockets shortly.
And I'll say for that fan interested in Porter, boy, I'd rather have Landale for sure if that's a waiver wire option for you. First of all, fans, if you like our videos, please hit like and subscribe below on the YouTubers here. We would really appreciate that. That's how we justify doing these things. I'm kind of going all Euro for my picks this week. And I think we've named all the names I'm bringing up, but they're still out there, still available. Let's go to Detroit for Nina Simone Fontecchio, Tech 19, the Italian forward for Shannon's Detroit Pistons. He's only rostered in 42% of Yahoo leagues. He has started the last 2 games for the Pistons. He ranks 30th over last 7 days average stats. And in his last 3 games, almost 19 points, over 5 rebounds, 3 threes, and one steal over with excellent percentages, but get this, over 36 minutes a game. At this point, you are just looking for minutes and opportunities. Plus, the Pistons have four games next week. Molto bene, Fontecchio. Pick him up.
Yes, sir. My first suggestion of the week, Amen Thompson, swingman, guard, forward for the Rockets, 45% rostered. As Alex mentioned, Şengün is out for the remainder of the regular season with an ankle injury. Jabari Smith has slid over to the five, and that's opened up the starting spot for Mr. Excellence himself, Amen Thompson. He's been a top 25 player over the past week based on average stats, and those his averages since joining the starting lineup and playing two games as a member of the starting five are 13.7 rebounds, three assists, and two steals. His field goal percentage is pretty insane right now. He was 9-for-11 against the Wizards last night, but he also totaled 46 fantasy points in that outing. I am lucky enough that I had him stashed on my bench in a couple leagues. He absolutely should be rostered in 10 and 12 team leagues moving forward.
Do you remember when we were complaining about the Rockets being too deep? And then Terry Eason's out, Cam Whitmore's out, now Şengün is out. Suddenly, they're maybe happy to have old man Jeff Green. I don't know.
it was a great matchup last night for Amen going against the Wizards, who have no centers.
Everyone's a good matchup going against the Wizards.
I watched the last like 8 minutes of that game, and I was like, I don't think either of these teams really care about who's going to win right now, even though the Rockets were like up 15.
I don't know what's worse, the 18 Porter player news notes. Are you watching the end of Wizards? Who was it? Wizards.
I was having some dinner. Man can't watch a final 8 minutes of Rockets Wizards.
Sure,
man.
Sorry, you're right.
You know what I should mention, actually? We didn't mention this at the top. Josh Green got hurt the other day, too. It was an ankle sprain. It looked way worse than that. I actually watched that live. I thought he tore his Achilles. But it's not that, which is good news. It was kind of crazy. My next waiver wire suggestion, Matisse Thybulle. We're at this point in the season where, Portland, speaking of bad teams, Portland's on a four-game week, which means you could stream in Matisse Thybulle based on this key stat. He has scored points in 9 straight games. That's huge for Matisse Thybulle, who does not always score points. But most importantly, the steals and blocks are still there. 2.1 steals, 0.9 blocks over the past 9 games. Again, it's a four-game week, so you can stream him in, and you might get yourself, 8 steals, 5 blocks, something like that. So if you're in desperate need of that, you know what to do. Ken, let's go to Vasile Micic.
Oh, you beat me to that glorious pronunciation. Probably doing me a favor. Yes, Vasile Micic, the 30-year-old rookie, Serbian guard for the Charlotte Hornets. Look, this is a playoff stash, okay? Charlotte has only 2 games next week. Every different commissioner site handles the NBA playoffs differently, and there are options within each site. For instance, I'm in an ESPN league that the first round is 2 weeks and the finals are 2 weeks. So check your rules. And Micic is a great pickup, but not if he's only got 2 games next week. Look, the Charlotte season ended months ago. They've essentially turned into OKC's G League team with Micic, Mann, and Pokuševski. Micic has started the last 6 games for Charlotte, and they bumped Trey Mann from point guard to shooting guard. Wednesday night, Micic had 25 points and 8 assists. That was against a woeful Memphis Grizzlies squad. He shot 9 of 10 from the field. That's not going to continue. But more importantly, look, last 6 starts for Micic. 16 points, over 6 assists, almost 2 threes, while shooting an elite 93% from the free throw, and most importantly, playing 32 minutes a game for these terrible Hornets. There's a gazillion minutes of playing time for Micic after this week when he only has 2 games.
It's wild to me that his roster percentage hasn't gone up more, 32%. We've talked about him 3 out of the past 4 weeks, I believe.
Yeah. I think it's 36%. And I'm sure an ESPN is like 2. Yeah.
All right.
My
second recommendation for the waiver wire is George the Minivan Niang, forward for Cleveland, rostered in 11% of leagues, 5 consecutive starts with Evan Mobley out. He's averaging 14.2 points, 4.2 rebounds, and 2.8 three-pointers in 28 minutes per game. He's been a top 75 player over the past week. I believe Niang will stick in the starting lineup even after Strus returns. They'll probably revert Okoro or Dean Wade. Those are two of the other guys who have received spot starts. One of those two will go to the bench, and Strus will pop back into the lineup. So I think Niang's pretty safe for as long as Mobley's out.
They need Niang's size.
Yep.
With Mobley out. And as someone who could also as someone who could stand to lose 15 pounds and lived in Cleveland, I love George's game.
He plays bigger than he is, too. And he's still a perimeter guy. Yeah, I like him.
Got
like
some width, game. If you will. Yeah.
Yeah, big man body. Big thick boy.
Oh, man. Okay. Yes, sir. Let's move to quickly our NBA DFS section.
Long shots.
Sorry.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey. I was doing some database work. I was multitasking. We had a Josh Green projections issue. I was fixing it. All right. Yeah.
Even Alex doesn't watch this podcast.
I'm typing numbers on a different window. I got men talking about other men being thick in my ear. I don't know what's going on anymore. All right. TJ McConnell. All right. You've heard me do this argument a million times. Pick up TJ McConnell.
Cockroach.
Timothy John, the man has 4 games next week. You know what that means? Fire him up because he will get you 20 assists. He continues to play. 20 steals, 20 assists, and he might score 20 points in any given game. Over his past, I'm going to go back farther. Past 11 games for TJ, only 20 minutes a game, but 13 points, 5 assists, 1.4 steals, shooting 60% from the field. All you got to do is watch the Pacers play and see that he just controls everything when he's out there. So pick him up for a 4-game week.
Love it.
Ken, who's your long shot?
My long shot. He's actually not European. He does look like he's from Eastern Europe, but apparently he's from Indiana. Jake LaRavia of the Memphis Grizzlies. Average game stats ranked 69th in 9 category over the last 7 days. Look, we do not know who's playing for Memphis night in, night out. LaRavia has been a bit of a bust pick for them, so they're just giving him all the minutes. If he blows out both knees, they do not care. The guy can create his own shot, score off the dribble, also hits threes. Last 8 games, almost 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2.1 stocks, 1.4 threes, but he does have a low field goal percentage. Memphis has only 3 games next week, so that's a problem. But decent long shot. He's only managed in 16% of Yahoo and only 4% of ESPN's. So if you're desperate, Jake LaRavia, someone's got to shoot for Memphis.
That is factually true. And that's the point of the season that we're at with Memphis. And we've been there for a while.
Yeah.
Okay, Shannon, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, our final long shot suggestion of the week, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, or Walker Alexander. I think I might type. Which one is it? Now I'm confusing myself.
Alexander Walker.
Yeah, golly. Forward for Minnesota, 7% rostered. He's seeing a larger role with Karl Anthony Towns. Or wait, is it Towns Anthony? Damn it. These names, these hyphenated names, and my backwards typing. Cat's out for a
Towns
while.
Anthony Cat's Carl. Out. Yeah.
Yes. Towns is out. Alexander Walker's seeing minutes. He's averaging 21.5 points, 5 boards, 3 dimes, 4 trays in 33 minutes over the past 2 games. Minnesota has 4 games next week. Yeah, it's Nickeil Alexander Walker will most likely come off the bench. He did receive 1 spot start, but that was with Kyle Anderson out. Kyle Anderson will probably start at the 4, but Walker will see increased run either way. His play is up and down, but with a 4-game week, if you're in a weekly league, he's worth a look. If you're a daily streamer, he's worth a look. So go scoop him up.
This pod's off the rails, so do you mind if I tell my Karl Anthony Towns story?
Please do.
All right. We're in Vegas for the annual meeting, which occurs during summer ball. This is 4 or 5 years ago. I'm racing to the elevators in our casino. And just before the doors close, this giant hand reaches out and stops the doors and opens them. And there's Karl Anthony Towns alone in the elevator. And I walk in, a little fanboyish, and I'm like, whoa, I thought Rookie of the Year's got their own elevator. He looks me in the eyes and goes, yeah, Wiggins is using it. Ugh. I almost wept the joy that we were like, I'm friends now with Karl Anthony Towns. But I asked him, I said, does Tibbs yell a lot? And he just shakes his head. Just goes, yeah.
And then you were detained by security. And
I just cried like a baby and huddled in the corner. Ooh. Yeah, security beat the hell out of me.
I stood next to Marvin Moneybags Bagley in the Vegas airport during one of these same summer trips. We were standing in the bathroom, you know, urinals next door, urinals to each other,
man to man. Yeah,
yep. And I wanted to ask him so many questions, but yeah.
McGee, is it Jake McGee, Jarvis McGee, the old Wizards draft pick?
JaVale,
thank you. I knew it at the time. I forgot it now. JaVale McGee and I, yes, also waited for luggage on that on a similar Vegas trip. And oh, shout out to, I also shared an elevator in Pittsburgh with Jerry Stackhouse, who just got, and he was coaching Vanderbilt. They were in town to play Pitt. We were in town to see our daughter in Pittsburgh. Anyway, Jerry, sorry, but you got laid off by the Vanderbilt this week.
That's Milwaukee Bucks legend Jerry Stackhouse to you.
And Detroit Piston
legend. Washington Wizard actual legend. I mean, all three of us.
Actual Detroit Pistons legend. I believe he led the NBA in scoring one year when he was on the Pistons.
That, you know, so I first of all, he was head to toe in Vanderbilt clothing. My wife had no idea who he was. And I said, Coach, my Celtics aren't giving Nesmith any time. And he just laughed his head off. And he said, he's in Ime's doghouse. And I was like, all right, cool. Jerry Stackhouse and I, friends.
Oh, my God. Then you reported it on RotoWire. Jerry Stackhouse told me. I wrote a Nesmith officially in the doghouse.
Are we done? Is that the
we
got to wait. Shannon, you got a long shot.
Yeah,
he just talked about it. That's how we got in this rant.
All right,
Alexander Walker, Carl Anthony Towns.
Friday DFS segment, gentlemen, give us your DFS advice, and I will answer questions.
Oh boy, there are six games today. highest over under. All of these over unders, I guess, are a point of discussion now. But we won't get into that. 223.5 is the highest over under. Atlanta versus Utah. So we got some questionable guys in that game. Taylor Hendricks, Bogdanovich, Jalen Johnson. Look, there are only six games on the slate. We can probably just quickly go through them all. But first, well, Shannon, let's just start with Miami-Detroit. That's your crew.
Yeah, that's a decent game to target. I actually like the Miami side a little bit more, and I'm siding with Jimmy Butler. He's got two games against Detroit this season already, and he is averaging 48 fantasy points per game in those two contests. One other big note to pay attention to is Cade Cunningham. He's questionable for tonight with a left knee injury management. Is the reason for that. So you want to keep an eye on Cade. He's 8,500 on DraftKings. Couple of good outings from him against Miami too, averaging 46 fantasy points per game in two contests. If Cade sits, that's a big boost for Jaden Ivey, 6,200 on DraftKings. He's eligible at point guard and shooting guard. Asar Thompson already ruled out for tonight, which means another spot start for Simone Fontecchio, Tech 19 at 50, I believe. Let's see. Let's confirm his salary. He's about 5,300 on DraftKings. So that makes him a decent value option. You know, for me, there are two other games that I'm watching pretty closely. All right. You guys just sit back and listen. Ken, take those headphones off. You don't need them. All right, the two games I'm really watching, Utah versus Atlanta. It's the late game. And then the Clippers and Pelicans. James Harden is uncertain for Friday night. And we saw with Friday what happens when James Harden is out. It's Bones Highland time, baby. Bones Highland went off for 50 fantasy points last night in the spot start, 32 minutes, 17 points, 11 assists, five rebounds, four steals. If Harden's out again, Bones Highland has to be in your DFS lineup. He has still vastly discounted because the slate came out before last night's game finished. Bones is $4,300 on DraftKings.
I will say, you know, we got a good morning from Alan Seslowski, esteemed coworker, video editor, content creator. We must have been really screwing up for Alan to check out this video. So
I apologize, Alan. Apologize to the fans. I posted the wrong time. So yeah, Alan, it's been a train wreck. And I'm a big part of that. I'm sorry. Shannon, that was fantastic DFS advice.
Yes. Bones Highland time. It's in full effect.
Bones is shy about shooting, right? Like if they get the minutes, he's a gunner. He does not care who he angers.
Absolutely. I will say, you know, Shannon mentioned the Miami-Detroit game. I like Rozier tonight. In that matchup, 6,800 is not bad for Rozier. Detroit's backcourt defense, not great, especially without Ausar Thompson being there. Phoenix versus Charlotte. Phoenix 10-point favorites on the road. We'll be down to Eric Gordon, notably. Charlotte's still down LaMelo Ball, Seth Curry, Caleb Martin. Look, we talked about Vasilij Micić earlier. He's been balling out for them. It is a tough matchup, though. Is there anybody in particular that you like in this game, or is this kind of a stay away for you?
A little bit of a stay away. Micić, you know, solid value. It's the second half of back-to-back for the Suns, right? They played on Thursday night, so that worries me a little bit. I want to see, you know, it's very possible the Suns decide this is a night off for a couple of their regulars. We'll see. If he's active, and especially if Booker or Durant sit for some reason, I do like Brad Beal on DraftKings. Just a good value under 7,000. One last pick, or a couple guys I want to highlight. One, Toronto, we had mentioned shorthanded. Bruce Brown, he's been getting extra run. Back-to-back outings with 30-plus minutes and 30-plus fantasy points, 5,900 on DraftKings. And then the Utah-Atlanta game that I mentioned earlier, I really like the Utah side. Utah is sitting. They've already ruled out numerous players for tonight. Hendricks is a game-time decision, but Clarkson, Dunn, Markkanen, all ruled out. They don't have anyone at the guard spot other than Keontae George, Colin Sexton. Maybe
George has been hot. He's gunning. He is shooting.
He is gunning.
About the dimes.
You know, even Talen Horton-Tucker could see some extra run tonight. But both Sexton and George are fantastic values. Like you mentioned, Ken, Keontae George been on fire. He's got back-to-back. He had one minor game where he left early due to illness, but he jumped right back in and back-to-back 40-point outings. He's only 6,600 against a good matchup against Atlanta. You know, the myth of DeJounte Murray's defense being quality continues to be a myth. So please target Keontae George.
He doesn't care. And he knows he's not even going to be in a Hawks uniform next year, right? Is he?
I don't know what Atlanta's doing. Atlanta is like number one in the league in terms of like individually. I like all of their guys, and then they just disappoint all the time. But yeah, I think DeJounte Murray in Atlanta is like a Terry Rozier in Charlotte situation where it's like he can defend, but is he going to for this team?
Yeah. I want to go back to, and I was glad you went over Bruce Brown because the Raptors are so shorthanded. Has DraftKings overpriced Kelly Olynyk now with his run of big minutes?
You can't overprice Kelly Olynyk.
It's impossible to overprice
Olynyk. 7,000, but he has three. Actually, since March, 40 fantasy points, 22, 41, 20, 42, 33, 45. So I think he's appropriately priced, actually.
He's locked to get a fantasy point per minute. So yeah, I agree. I think he's pretty much appropriately priced. I don't like the matchup against Orlando though.
Yeah, Orlando stout defense.
Slow.
Okay, let's talk about one more game here. I don't think you mentioned it, Shannon. Denver, San Antonio. Got Wembanyama going up against Nikola Jokic. Denver's been playing some of the best defense in the NBA as of late. They've really turned it up a bit. Anything you like in this game? This is another game where the road team, Denver, is double-digit favorites.
Yeah. Yeah, blowout potential is certainly there. No big surprise. You know, Michael Porter Jr., he's been on a nice little hot streak recently. Aaron Gordon's discounted. Yeah, on the San Antonio side, I like Sochan.
I was just gonna say Sochan. Yeah, exactly. He's been Sochan, on a run. Sorry. Been on a run.
He's been on a nice run, and he also is only 6,000 on DraftKings. You know, he's got back-to-back 34 and 38 fantasy point outings in the past two. He's been very solid for the Spurs lately.
Had a 36.9 a week ago too. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the blowout of this is that the Nuggets sit, but I don't think Pop cares about. He's not going to rest his young guys like so on. Those guys need as much experience as they can get, right? He's going to play regardless of the score.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you could look at anybody's game logs. I mean, if you just want to use, you know, Wembanyama as sort of a barometer, Wembanyama hasn't seen less than 30 minutes since February 25th. And it's not like all those games are competitive, you know?
Yeah.
All right, I think that wraps it up for our Friday DFS segment. That means that it is time for Ken's old man rant.
Arg! You know what chortles my second chin? Old-timers playing fantasy baseball, or should I say rotisserie baseball. Fantasy hoops is so much better. Who would you rather watch, LeBron James or little Jose Altuve? My goodness, that 162-game baseball marathon is a grind. Most teams are eliminated in July. And really, you want me to track holds? Holds? Good Lord. NBA games don't stop so a player can go to the rosin bag. Plus, every pitcher gets hurt every time the wind blows. I think Gerrit Cole is out for 4 years. Elbows are not meant to throw a ball 100 miles per hour. And I don't care who's the fifth starter for the Kansas City Royals. Give me fantasy basketball every day of the week, baby. Arr!
Ken, as a fellow old, I mean, one, this is a very anti-old take that you have here. And also, you're dead wrong. Fantasy baseball is by far the best fantasy sport. It's not even close. You're not even close.
Forced. And frankly, there would be no fantasy industry if it wasn't for the invention of rotisserie baseball. But I was out of ideas. That was the best I could come up with.
I don't participate in fantasy baseball except for, you know, there's nothing going on NBA wise, no NFL, and it's like, you know what? I'm on Underdog or something. Let's throw on a bunch of home run props. Sling them together. That's fun to me.
How's that working out for you?
You know, let's say worse than NBA is. We'll keep it at that.
So RotoWire was founded, you know, on this pre-internet league back at our college, it started with baseball. And I don't want to leave that league because it's like 34 years old. But I'm also absolutely terrible at it because I just...
Have you considered taking the advice of our award-winning writers?
I do. The problem is everyone else in the league is also doing so. reading far more than I am. And I'm just more into the hoops. And you're right. That's a young guy rant, to be honest. But I'm old. But yeah. Anyway.
Also doing take that Clay Link episode.
Take that, yes. Clay Link. You want some of this?
Oh, man. Mispronounced names. I think I feel like we had one, actually. Shannon had a Walker Alexander snafu.
And a Sochan.
Sochan was bad. Yeah. So
yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah. We got to rename this segment Shannon's. I feel like Shannon's tripping up as much as I am.
That's renaming an award. That's big stuff. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball podcast. And as always, apologies to our sponsor, smartbracket.io. Ken, take us out of here.
Let's go to San Antonio, where LeBron James said this about Victor Wembanyama after he had another 5-5 game, meaning 5 steals, 5 blocks. He said this about Wemby. He doesn't have a ceiling. He can do whatever he wants with his career, end quote. Attention passengers, This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.
Wemby's ceiling is the roof.